The first thing I want us to think about this morning is that God saves all sorts of people. And we've heard about two people from the Bible who are very different. One called Nicodemus and one called Zacchaeus. And I'll ask you a few questions, see if you can help me to explain to everyone why they were very different sorts of people. Asked about Nicodemus first. What sort of man was Nicodemus? Anyone can tell me from the Holiday Bible Club as we were thinking about Nicodemus. What sort of man was he? If you can put your hand up and tell me, that would be a big help. Yeah, he was a teacher. In fact, the teacher, the Bible says. So he was a religious man. A man who knew about the Bible in the Old Testament. But as you say, he was a bit confused, wasn't he? He didn't really understand how he could be forgiven. And particularly when Jesus talked to him about being born again, Nicodemus was very confused because he thought, how can a person be born when he's old? Nicodemus was the sort of man who trusted in himself at that time, when he came to Jesus first. Thought, if he lived a good enough life, perhaps God would accept him. And Jesus shocked him when he said, what did he say again to Nicodemus? You must be born again. Now, Zacchaeus was a very different sort of man. What sort of man was Zacchaeus? At the back. Shout. Yes, he was a tax collector. And in the Bible, you sometimes read this little phrase that people complained in the days of Jesus about tax collectors and sinners. They didn't like tax collectors. Tax collectors are perhaps not the most popular people today either. But certainly in Jesus' day, they were not popular because they were collecting taxes for the Romans. And the Romans had come in and invaded the country and imposed taxes. People had to pay a lot of money. And Zacchaeus, as we sang in the song, it looks as if Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector who collected money for the Romans, but he liked to collect some of the money for himself as well. So, he was the chief tax collector for Jericho, the Bible says. And Jericho was a very good town to be a tax collector in, because it was on a highway which was very busy. Be like being a tax collector, say, on the M1, where you could stop every car and make everyone pay a tax to you before they could carry on their journey. Pretty quickly, you'd be a rich person. Nicodemus was a religious man. Zacchaeus was a thief, a different sort of man altogether. And yet God saves all sorts of people, we read. And the Bible tells us, remember I said to you, Zacchaeus, was he tall or was he short? Who said that? Short, that's right. He was a short man. And I think being short physically, so he wasn't very tall, he was short, he climbed up the tree to see Jesus. Also tells us perhaps that he was short spiritually as well. He didn't live up to the standards of God. And people hated him. If Nicodemus was the teacher of Israel, a well-known, well-respected teacher, Zacchaeus was hated and an outcast from the synagogue. You wouldn't have said Zacchaeus was a religious man at all. And yet, here's the first thing we're thinking about. God saves all sorts of people. The second thing we're thinking about is that God saves all sorts of people, but by faith in Jesus Christ. God saves all sorts of people who put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have new life from God. He went on to talk to Nicodemus about something that had happened in the history of God's people in the Old Testament when snakes had bitten them, and a brass snake had been put up on the pole, and the people looked to the snake on the pole, and they were healed. And so what Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man is a name for Jesus. When was Jesus lifted up? That's a hard question, isn't it? When was Jesus lifted up? Yeah, on the cross when he died. Jesus was lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then here's one of the best known verses in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus needed to believe, Jesus said. Believe in him, the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Not the Jesus of the BBC. Not the Jesus of skepticism. Not the Jesus of Islam. But the Jesus of the Bible. Believe, Jesus said to him. And then Zacchaeus, who had climbed up a tree, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, you are to come down as well from the sycamore tree. And then we read something wonderful about Zacchaeus too. Although they're very different sorts of men, this is what happened to him. He made haste, that means he was quick. He came down, Zacchaeus, and received Jesus joyfully. And then Jesus said, today salvation has come to his house because he also, Zacchaeus also, is a son of Abraham. In the Bible, Abraham is a man who is described many times to us because he's the man who had faith. He's the man who believed. Abraham believed God, says the Bible, and God counted it to him for righteousness. So Jesus was saying the same thing to Nicodemus and to Zacchaeus. God saves all sorts of people, but saves all sorts of people who believe in him, trust in him, receive him. And we're going to think about that a little bit more after we've sung another hymn. Now, if you want to go out, if you normally go out to the creche and you're a bit older, 4 to 7 or that sort of age or a bit more, well, you can go out now while we sing the next hymn. And thanks for helping me tell the story so far. We're going to think about it a bit more. So if you want to stay, you can stay. But if some of the younger ones want to go out, you can go out now as we sing our next hymn, which is 193, You're the Word of God the Father. We're going to think a little bit more about these two men, Nicodemus and Zacchaeus, that although God saves all sorts of people, saves all sorts of people only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the one way to come to God, yet actually their conversion stories are very different. We read of Zacchaeus, for example, joyfully receiving the Lord Jesus Christ right at that initial meeting when Jesus called him down from the tree. Whereas it seems with Nicodemus, his conversion story, if you wanted to read it in John's Gospel, unfolds more slowly over a much longer period of time. Nicodemus is pondering and thinking about those things that he'd heard from Jesus. He starts to respond to what Jesus has said to him. But it's not until towards the end of John's Gospel that Nicodemus clearly comes out after Jesus' crucifixion as a believer, someone who's put now his trust in Jesus Christ, is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Their conversion stories are very different. And I would imagine that in a group of people like this here this morning, it would be the same with us. Some hear the gospel and they can put a day, a time even perhaps, when they put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Others hear the gospel, but over a much longer period of time, it starts to make sense to them. They can't put a time, a moment on it, but there was a time when they didn't believe and trust in Jesus Christ, and now they do. And it was a process over a much longer period of time, coming to faith. The important thing, though, is a true conversion. There was a very influential TV series called Civilization, made by a man called Kenneth Clark, not the politician, but a filmmaker. And he writes in his autobiography about attending church and having a religious experience. This is what he says. My whole being was irradiated by a kind of heavenly joy, far more intense than anything I had ever known before. But then he says, the gloom of grace created a problem for him. If he responded fully in faith, he knew he'd have to change and his family would think he'd lost his mind. And so he says, I was too deeply embedded in the world to change course. And as far as we know, he died without actually putting his faith in the Jesus of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that may be you this morning. You may be too deeply embedded in the world, in the way of life and the way of thought that you have, to think that you can change course. And yet these two men, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, Jesus changed them, and he can change you too. The Son of Man came, says Jesus, speaking about his mission. Why did he come to the world? To seek and to save that which was lost. So that mission is very clear, and the Lord Jesus Christ is still at work by his Spirit, working in the hearts and lives of men and women, young people, boys and girls, who are saved, rescued, converted. If you've never been converted, if you've never been saved, you need to know that Jesus Christ is still that seeking Savior. The Bible describes him as the Savior who comes, as it were, to knock on the door of your heart by his word, the Bible, and by the Holy Spirit. If anyone hears his voice, not hearing his voice like you're hearing my voice, but an inner voice in your heart, in your life, a conviction of need before God and of Jesus Christ, the Savior, coming to you. You open the door, says the Bible, he will come in. Now, this is the Savior who knows all about our sins and failures. Just as he knew all about Nicodemus, how did he know Zacchaeus' name when Zacchaeus was up that tree? Well, he was the Son of God. He knew everything about everyone. He may be the Savior who's calling you this morning. Come, for I must come into your life. But these two conversion stories, Nicodemus and Zacchaeus, are very different. If Kensett Evangelical Church is to grow, it grows through conversions. There's nothing more important, really, in a church to see, and there's evidence that God is at work like that in conversions. We must pray for it. What is true Christian conversion like? Well, in John chapter 3 and Luke chapter 19, we see it's more than a high opinion about Jesus. Before ever they were converted, it seems, certainly Nicodemus, and perhaps to a certain extent even Zacchaeus, they had a high opinion of who Jesus was. Listen to Nicodemus. Rabbi, teacher, he says as he comes to Jesus by night. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus has a high opinion of Jesus. Jesus is a teacher, a rabbi. He's come from God. He's doing mighty signs that no one else could do unless God was with him. And yet, what does Jesus say to Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you must be born again. In Luke chapter 19, we read that Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. He'd heard something, it seems, about Jesus. Perhaps his miracles, his healings, that he'd raised people from the dead, his great teaching. He wanted to see. They knew he was no ordinary man, Jesus. They were curious. Nicodemus is respectful. He knows Jesus is a man to be reckoned with, someone to be listened to, someone connected to God. But he's got this muddled, confused, vague idea about Jesus. He doesn't have a clear understanding who Jesus really is. Nicodemus is like many people in the UK, even perhaps, who have a high opinion of Jesus, but that's not faith. That's not conversion. And whatever Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus, as he climbs that tree, he was curious, he was wanting to see who Jesus was, but he wasn't converted. Conversion is more than a high opinion of Jesus. Conversion is more than Bible knowledge. Nicodemus certainly had a lot of Bible knowledge. He was a Bible scholar, the teacher of Israel. Jesus is making a strong point there. The Reverend Dr. PhD Nicodemus. A PhD in the Bible. And yet, says Jesus to Nicodemus, you don't know who I am, and you don't know what I'm talking about. It's possible to have a PhD in the Bible and yet not be converted. How many people have a high opinion of Jesus and know a lot about the Bible, but they're not converted? So you see why true conversion is a very important issue. What does the Lord Jesus want everyone to know about conversion? He wants everyone to know that conversion is essential. What does he say to Nicodemus? Most assuredly, I say to you, that's emphasizing it, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was not a villain like Zacchaeus. Nicodemus was the model citizen. But he was a model citizen who was not born again. It's one of the major weaknesses in the way Christianity is portrayed in the United Kingdom, that people think they can be Christians, but they've not been born again of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Tozer saying, 100 religious persons do not constitute a church any more than 11 dead men make a football team. The first requisite, he says, the first thing is always, always, always life. Spiritual life. New life. Life from above. Life by the Holy Spirit. Now that life comes from God. That new life is not being a model citizen. It's life from God who takes your heart and floods you with newness, so that the church becomes a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So conversion is heart-awakened new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks of being born of water and of the Spirit. Water, washing, cleansing, forgiveness of sins. The Spirit who gives new life. So our natural rebellion against God, whether it's religious rebellion like Nicodemus or irreligious rebellion like Zacchaeus. But whatever the idol is that comes before God, that is removed, taken away. New life comes. God gives you forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. When we live for other things before God, Pascal describes it as licking the earth, he says. We treat things in this world as if they're more important than the God of the Bible. The Bible calls that idolatry. Licking the earth, Pascal says. An idol, not necessarily something in a temple somewhere, but the number one desire in your life. Idol worship. Putting your hope in something else other than God as the great and ultimate and first good. All the way back to Adam in the beginning. There's that flaw in every human heart. We're not free, we're not relaxed, we build our identity not on God, but on idols, says the Bible. We get our self-worth from money, like Zacchaeus. Or we get our self-worth from religion, like Nicodemus. And we suck pleasure out of sin, but we have to spit it out of our mouths, says the Bible. We need to be converted. It's essential. And it's only God can do it. It's a miracle from God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So becoming a Christian is not turning over a new leaf. It's not saying, well, I'll try a new religion. It's not saying, I'll try harder. Jesus Christ is not saying to Nicodemus, let me help you to be a better Pharisee. He's not even saying to Zacchaeus, let me help you to be a more honest tax collector. The Lord Jesus is saying to Nicodemus and to Zacchaeus and to you and to me, you need a new heart. And it's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. God is able to do it. Now that's good news and it's bad news. It's bad news in that apart from God's grace, we are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, dead to God, bored with God, allergic to God. We need a new heart. Only God can touch us at that level. That humbles us. But the good news, that the God who can give a new heart is the God who loves and who has sent his Son into the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you can ask God to cleanse you of your self-defeating idols and give you a new heart, a passion for God. And God promises to be merciful to all who come to him through faith in Jesus Christ, and conversion makes you into a new person. You see, if we read John's Gospel and Nicodemus had never come out as a Christian, never stepped out fully as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we might have wondered, did Nicodemus ever really become a Christian? But we see evidence of a changed life in Nicodemus. If Zacchaeus had just carried on as a corrupt, cheating, thief, tax collector, we'd have said, well, it doesn't look as if he's been converted. But when this miracle of new life comes, our part in it, the Lord Jesus explains to Nicodemus, it's like what happened in that account of the snakes in the desert with the people of God in the Old Testament. They rebelled against God. God sent snakes into the camp where they were living that bit them. It was a judgment from God. They cried out to Moses, pray to God, ask God to heal us. God tells Moses to raise up that brass serpent on a pole, and they must look in faith. And those who look in faith to the serpent on the pole are healed. Those who do not look in faith are not healed. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, says Jesus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man, Jesus, must be lifted up on the cross, as one of the boys and girls were explaining to us. That whoever believes in him, should not perish but have eternal life. I wonder this morning, have you looked in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, who upon the cross suffered for your sins? When the people of Israel sinned and Moses put that bronze serpent up on a pole, it was those who looked, they lived. Jesus Christ identifies with us in our sins in that he who had no sin, he had no sins of his own, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what does conversion involve? It involves turning from the old way of life and looking, spiritually looking, to Jesus Christ in faith. It's a spiritual act. It's not physical, it's spiritual. You look away from trusting in yourself to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ alone. He's the Savior. And we see evidence straight away in Zacchaeus' life that that's what he's done. Lord, look, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. The Bible tells us, then Zacchaeus, straight away, he received Jesus joyfully, straight away he responds. He's not bargaining with Jesus. He's not trying to enter into a contract. He's sold out to Jesus Christ. And that heart change, new life from God, repentance, faith, is demonstrated in a change of action now. Out of gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for him, he responds. And that sincerity of his repentance was his way of living out Romans 10, verse 10. It's with your heart you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and you're saved. So when someone really meets with Jesus Christ like this and is converted, there's always a change. If you've never been changed, then it may be you've never been saved. As part of his repentance, Zacchaeus wants to right the wrongs. Biblical repentance goes hand in hand with looking to Jesus Christ in faith, because conversion is this radical, life-changing event. Now, with Nicodemus, it appears over a much longer period of time. But a crunch comes for Nicodemus, this respected religious teacher of Israel. Will he identify with the Jesus who is crucified on the cross? And will he go as a disciple to ask to help in the burial of Jesus, this crucified man? So with Zacchaeus, there's an immediate evidence of change. With Zacchaeus, the change is more gradual, but it's there. With Zacchaeus, the man who felt small his whole life and who treated others as if they were small, now there's a big change. He's a different man. So he says he'll give half of his possessions to the poor and will give back four times the amount he swindled. Now that far exceeded any cultural or religious expectations. It was considered very generous to give 20% of your money to the poor. He gives 50%. When he gives four times as much back, he's confessing as if he'd been found out in a court of law and been required what was stolen. Even then, it was repay what was stolen and add 20%. Zacchaeus goes far beyond. He's willing to respond four times as much. We sometimes think we are being generous if we give God 10% of our income. Zacchaeus's transformation, his conversion, show staggering generosity. He's eager to put things right, no matter what the cost. Zacchaeus had learned the truth that it is impossible to serve both God and money. Before he met with Jesus Christ, before he was converted, money meant everything to him. After his conversion, Jesus Christ now is first. And his money, he's willing to give a lot of it away. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, says Jesus. So as we think of these two men, very different, were saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. As we think about the great differences in their conversion stories, I'm saying what happened to Nicodemus and what happened to Zacchaeus can happen to you. You respond to this Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you respond to him in faith, you look to him in faith. You believe upon him. You receive him, says Zacchaeus. He's the Savior who still seeks and saves that which was lost. And if you're here this morning, you want to speak with me after the service about what that means in your life, well, over lunch, let's talk about it. Some of you here have done some Bible studies with me on explaining Christianity. Christianity explained. What does it really mean to be a Christian? If you want to do that, you could do that. I've been talking about these Bible studies. We're going to start with the young people on a Friday night. But you could study John's Gospel one-to-one with me or someone else. True conversion, not something superficial, not something that just lasts for a day or two or a week or two or a month or two or even a year or two, but a whole life changing. Meeting with Jesus Christ as Nicodemus did, as Zacchaeus did, and as you did, as you respond to him in repentance and faith. And many here this morning can testify of that change that comes from death to life, from condemnation to forgiveness, from hell to heaven, to know what it is to meet with God this morning, the Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for what we learn from these two men, two very different men. Both of them put their trust in Jesus Christ. They believed upon him. They looked to the Savior and they lived. We pray that you would teach us what that means for us here this morning. Their conversion stories were very different. And people here this morning, those who are Christians, their conversion stories are very different. But they too looked in faith to Jesus Christ, were born again, and knew new life from God. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us all what it means to trust you this morning through Jesus Christ, that Savior, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you for this Savior, and we come to you this morning in the Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing a closing hymn together, and our closing hymn is 493. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch is describing us, we were wretched, lost in our sins, to make a wretch his treasure. 493. Let's pray together. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the same spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.